Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume, improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit RackPorcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table. Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Tired of the hassle and risks of manual fruit cutting? Let me introduce our partners over at Supercut System, the automated solution that enhances safety, quality, and efficiency. Cut up to 120 perfect citrus wedges per minute, 6 times faster than manual. Patented technology delivers consistent slices, reducing waste and eliminating plastic. The contactless hygienic design lowers contamination risk and workplace injuries. Supercut integrates seamlessly for any volume. Improve profitability and customer experience. Experience the power of automation with Supercut. Get started today at supercut.com and be sure to ask about their risk-free trials.
Hello, food fam. This is the Walk and Talk podcast, and I'm your host, Carl Fiadini. We're podcasting on-site at Ibis Images Studios. Attention chefs and GMs and bar managers, are you looking for a fantastic food photographer to capture your delicious dishes, cool cocktails, and your property's amazing architecture? Well, get with John Hernandez. Check him out at ibisimages.com. It is election season in the ACF, and today we're going to interview Chef Thomas McCrana. He's the current ACF National Chairman of the Board. Let's dig in, but first, attention chefs and food buyers, are you looking to improve your proteins program with quality and service by the best in the beef business? Reach out to Peninsula Food Service. With 25 butchers on staff, their services will dazzle and impress your dining guests. Peninsula is the largest Creekstone Farm distributor in the Southeast United States. Let the gang at Peninsula Food Service cut your beef burdens away and ask about their dry-aged program. Look them up at peninsulafood.com. Ooh, that was a lot. Hey, Jeffrey, how you doing?
Fantabulous.
All right. So, look, I know you've been cooking a bunch of different stuff. Like, what, talk to me, man.
So, the last episode, well, the last podcast with Mr. Matt, Chef Matchett, was about the salmon that I did.
Yes.
So, the other day, I got just this, I'm bringing in this, like, focaccia mood, and I haven't made focaccia in so long. So, I decided, like, the girls were out, my daughter and my wife. I'm like, oh, what can I do that's really different with it? And I took it and let it over ferment for a couple of days. So it was nice fermented. And I'm like, okay, onions. I did some balsamic glaze, some tomatoes, and chopped it all up, threw it on top of it. Oh my Lord. There's nothing like that.
That sounds yum.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. There's, and it kind of folds into that, the Orlando thing I was telling you when I was with Keith Saracen over at Cater Source, and he took us to Pizza Bruno. Listen, if anybody, Tom, if you ever come back down here, eventually, you want to come down to Orlando. Anybody in the Orlando area, the Pizza Bruno is probably the best pizza I've ever had in the entire country.
Okay. That's a big statement.
Yeah. It's a big, bold statement, but it's the damn honest truth.
So we're going to go on a field trip, I guess, right?
Walk and talk field trip? Yeah. Okay. I don't mind, man. I'll be right there. We'll set up a camper outside, and I'll sit out there, man.
I love it. All right. So at some point, too, Jeffrey, we're going to have to jump into some more barbecue. It's been a little bit.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah, meatballs. That's what I'm talking about. All right, let's get Chef Thomas on the program. Chef, thank you for taking some time out and being on the program. Appreciate you.
No problem. Thanks for having me today.
Absolutely. Why don't you go ahead and have you been cooking, Chef? I mean, talk to me. I like to get into. Well, I want to get in the head of the chef.
Today, actually, I was doing I had a kitchen visit today of a new company called Bacon Bacon. So that should really be up Jeff's alley. They have a food truck
I
here.
I literally just perked up like a meerkat.
I'm sure you did. They have a food truck. They've had a food truck for 2 years, and they had two food trucks, and now they're opening a brick and mortar, which they should be opening the end of May. And awesome. We've been going over a bunch of different bacon entrees and desserts and appetizers and things like that. So we had a lot of fun this morning. So. Now we're doing this. I'm not baconed out, but I had a lot of bacon today.
Nobody can be baconed out.
I don't know that there's a such.
No, never baked. I know, never baconed out.
Right. Over the weekend, we cooked up some stuff at the house, and I must have had like 3 pounds of bacon. I got to call my doctor and see if I'm okay.
You'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm going to be all right. All right, Chef Thomas, why don't you? So, what's your background? How long have you been in the business? What's your specialties? What do you love?
Well, I've been in the business for many, many years, probably 40 years or more. I went to tech school, high school, and for cooking, and I went to CIA, and I started out in the restaurants and hotels, and I worked for basically two families. I worked for one for 20 years, one for 15 years, and I was corporate chef for both of them, and one owned a bunch of hotels in the city, the other one in the suburbs all around Philadelphia. And I just had a great time. And everything we had from catering to restaurants to dinner theaters back in the day. You don't see many dinner theaters anymore, but back in the day we had a hotel, restaurants and dinner theaters run back and forth. It was crazy. But it's a life that I loved and I don't know what else to do. And I got involved with competitions and training people, apprentices, ACF, and just a lot of fun. And it's a great business, a great family to have. It's like a second family. And my family's always involved in everything I do with this business. And I'm still in it today. I work in the other side of business. A lot of my friends told me I went over to the dark side. That was about 12 years ago.
Must be sales.
But, it is. Well, it is. You know what? I don't call it sales. I'm still a chef. So, I help our fellow chefs out. And, we get things done and we accomplish a lot. And it's a lot of fun. I'm having fun. I've always had fun at my job and I've always learned something every day. You learn something new and you accomplish something new. And that's how you survive.
So, you've been in the game a long time.
Yes.
Let me ask you this. What's your favorite cuisine, by the way? What's your favorite thing to cook?
My favorite thing to cook is anything. My favorite thing to cook is anything sauté. I love the sauté. It doesn't really matter what it is, but anything sauté, something fast. Like when I come home at night, I look in the box in the refrigerator. And I just see what's there, and I make something up really fast in the frying pan. And that's my favorite thing to cook. It doesn't matter what it is, but that's what I like to do. I always loved the sauté station when I was a cook. And as I became a chef, the sauté people, I was always with them because it was always busy, always something to do. I always like to have a lot of different pans on the stove at one time and keep moving. And that's that's what I like to cook. A lot of cook Italian food naturally. But I'll be there and cook anything you want me to cook.
Yeah. I mean, I see that last name. I got you. I see the vowels, man. I got you.
Yeah.
All right. So that's a good lead in here. So for the ACF and the aspiring chef and also the chefs that are, getting closer to retirement, what about the ACF is good for those folks?
What's good for them to be involved. They need to be involved in the ACF. The ACF will do everything for them as long as they do for the ACF. You get out of the ACF what you put into the ACF. If you expect something from the ACF, you're going to get nothing from the ACF. It's what you put into it is what you get out of it. And a lot of people think that they want, and then they wonder why they don't get anything. It's what you put into it and you get out of it. It comes to you, not, you know what I'm saying? You don't go looking for it. I've gotten a lot out of the ACF. The ACF has helped me in my career throughout the years. And it's just there. You know what I'm saying? It's just because of things between all the charities that I've helped out over the years, all the apprentices I've helped, that I've trained, and all the people and the networking, was all through the ACF, all throughout, you know, local chapter in Philadelphia mostly. And then, as my career got further through competition and through Team USA, you know, throughout larger part of the ACF. But, the more you put into it, the more you get out of it.
Well, speaking of charities, you know, something that's near and dear to me is mental health and substance abuse within the food industry. I've been in the business, you know, in and around the business for my whole life, basically. And, you know, we all have our friends and family and whatever that, you know, that there's issues and challenges out there. How do you see where the ACF assists in that area? And do you see that the ACF can do more?
You can always do more. You're never doing enough in that area. I see that we've had a couple seminars, and I know on Chef's Table, there have been some various conversations on it, but still a lot of people don't like to talk about it. And until people are more open and start talking about it, that's when, when the problem gets solved a lot more. I think there's more people helping people more than you realize, but they're just not as open on the subjects as you would, you know what I'm saying? Not as open. They like to keep that to themselves more, but they're out there, the webinars are there, the help is there. People just have to, get up, but they have to make that phone call. And I see a lot of that on Facebook, on the ACF website, where, you send those things out. Are you my friend? And, you write and read through and you send it out. And, people say, it's a chain letter, don't send it out. But, it's good to send it out once in a while. Let somebody know that you are there for them. You never know. You never, ever know what that person is thinking and what they may need at that moment. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I can understand some anonymity, in respect to the person who might have, said challenge. But,
I think, Tom, you were actually national president when Chef Bourdain completed suicide, correct? In 2018?
Stafford was.
Stafford still was at that point?
Yeah, Stafford was.
That was an absolute amazing. I mean, you want to talk about being right on the trend of it. Matthew Rayford got up and did a whole thing, which inspired me in 2018. So I think
How do we do more of that? See, that's the thing.
And that's
like
the
this particular subject, I feel like it deserves a lot more airtime. You know, hence why I'm bringing it up here in these conversations. You know what I mean?
It does.
Yeah, and I think...
It does, but a lot of people just don't like to talk about it, and that's the whole thing. People shy away from bringing it up. And
that's the society, though.
You know what I'm saying? And that's...
Tom and I and Jonathan are in that age group. Carl's the young one here. He's got a pacifier.
Yeah, 49-year-old pacifier.
But, back in Brighton Beach Memoirs with Neil Simon, when Matthew
Roberts...
That was
a great movie.
Right? Remember when he was talking about, when you talk about certain things, Uncle Jenny had, or Uncle Ted had diarrhea, and Aunt Betty had cancer. But, when it comes to mental health, it's always that, we're not talking about that. It's the next subject. I think the ACF can spearhead this to be that voice to open up people to understand that they're not alone. And I think that's what we could do more of.
Right. So how I see it is this. I feel like if the ACF is doing something now, well, they are doing something now. I don't want to say it like that. They are doing something now, but I feel like that can be amplified.
100%.
That can be increased. And, because at the end of the day, we're talking volume in terms like loudness, like people need to know, hey, this is real and it's really here. And hey, these are the outlets for you to, you know, to get some help or a shoulder or whatever it is that you need.
Well, I mean, you got all these different organizations. Here's another great organization, the Lee Initiative, which is another one started by Chef Eddie Lee out of Tennessee. He did a phenomenal job, 610 Magnolia.
Chef Eddie Lee out of Tennessee? Yeah, You can make a song out of that.
Yeah, I can't make that stuff up. Sorry. I just didn't even realize I rhymed.
That's right.
It's okay.
Chef.
But whatever anybody does, it helps. Every little by little, and you keep it going, somebody that needs it will call when they realize that it's there and they're ready to make that phone call or reach out. It's very important that they know where to go, and you have to just keep it in the forefront for someone who needs it. You know, so that's what's important. You always have to keep it there and ready for somebody to grab it when they need it, not let it go, you know, not make it disappear. It would be a shame that it's not around and we're not doing anything about it and somebody really needs it and they don't know where to go at that last minute when they really need help. That's the sad part. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That's what you miss sometimes.
So over the last 25 years or so, I don't know, maybe more, maybe less, there's been an influx of, you know, more of a variety of cultures that are here in the States. And a lot of those, you know, different demographics are changing, you know, who you see as executive chef in the kitchen and leadership positions and whatnot. How is the ACF engaging in that change? And is the ACF positioned well there?
Chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Well, I think the ACF is positioned well, and I got to tell you about that, my opinion about that. I started back in the late 70s, let's say. But back, you know, even the late 70s, early 80s, or whenever it was, the kitchen was always a melting pot. We had all walks of life. We had all genders, all races, all work together, and back then, you know, anything over 46 hours was overtime, so everybody worked at least 46 hours a week, plus. And you spend more time with them than you did your family, so you were a family, and everyone got along, and everyone worked very, very well together, and they didn't have labels. The difference is today is we label people, and sometimes I wonder if that's good or if that's bad, because I think sometimes, you know, with the labels, we're forgetting about that we're all people, we're all together, and forget about the label. You're a person. You're who you are. It's not, you know, I'm a Hispanic guy and I got this, or I'm a Black guy, I got this, I'm a white guy, I got this. It's your person and you got this. And if we would look at everyone like that, I think we would be much better. Yes. Women have had it tough. And back in my day, you know, there were some older chefs that didn't really like women in the kitchen. But over time has evolved that, you know, there are a lot of female chefs. When I first started, actually, when I got out of the CIA, my first job, I was cooking at breakfast. And the morning sous chef at breakfast was a lady. Her name was Flossie. And she was the sous chef in the morning, and she had all us guys, and she was the supervisor of us all, and she whipped us all into shape. She made sure we were up there early in the morning doing breakfast and taking care of everything. And we all got together, we all worked together, and I think the ACF embraces that. I think we always have, but I think people need to help themselves also. You can't do everything. It's like leading, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink it. And I think we need to do the same thing. We have everything there for them, and maybe we need to do more communication, let them know exactly what we have, but we're there for them. We have now everything in Spanish, which is very, very important, because I know I go out to a lot of kitchens and a lot of people do speak Spanish, and we need to embrace that language. And there are other languages now we need to embrace. We need to embrace other cultures.
How do you do that? The magic question is, how does that actually go into practice?
You just need to go and do it. You just need to do it. You just need to let people in. You just need to let people in. Let them know that you're there. And you're not going to do it by just, I don't know how to explain it. You don't do it by just saying you're going to do it. You know what I'm saying? You don't do it by saying you're going to do it. You're going to be, we're going to be all inclusive. Yes, we're inclusive. But you have to do it by showing you're going to do it. When you go out there and you go visit people, you need to move around. You need to go visit people. When we're out there at the shows, instead of standing behind a booth, we need to go out there and visit those people. When we're out there at the and students, we need to go spend a lot more time with the students.
Chef, I know you work for a major company, and I know they do things with data essentials, and they do what's cooling off on trend, what's heating up, and they do a phenomenal job with it. Would that be like a great opportunity for the ACF to look what's on trend and actually then get those chefs that are on the forefront of that cuisine to actually then bring them in to showcase that cuisine to the rest of the membership? Would that be a great idea too?
It probably would be a great idea. I know we've done different things like that before, but if we've accomplished nothing doing that. And a lot of times what we do, and I don't know where it ends, where it stops or where it ends, but we start things, but we never finish them. How's that sound?
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. In Vegas,
but we do that. We start things and we don't finish them. And it's really bad, but we do that. And that's a bad thing.
I will say in Vegas, one of the most interesting presentations, because being in Florida, there's that influx of not only Latin or Hispanic, but we also have the Haitian influence too. And it's just such a lovely cuisine. I have to admit that Chris, I forgot Chris's name. I'm so sorry, Chris. His presentation on his food, his Haitian food, that was probably eye-opening, not only for me, but it was also so vibrant and colorful and so flavorful. And that's the stuff, I think, if we hit nail that with that cuisine, because I think if we show respect to cuisine, we're actually doing the right way. And I think if we were, like I said, going to those leaders or there's an innovators of that cuisine, I think we have a better opportunity. And that might actually free flow to getting some more membership in.
But you need other cuisines too. Then.
Oh, I'm not just, I'm not ruling out Haitian. I think it should be everything.
You need to be more of everything. You need to be more of
diversified.
Everything.
Yeah, diversified between
we're
diversity.
We are diversified, but we're not diversified. You know what I'm saying?
100%.
We kind of go one way. We need to go all the ways.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Basically what you're saying is you need a little bit more of everything. A concerted effort into
a little scotch.
Yeah, a little scotch.
You need like a pepper pot stew, or you need a stew like a minestrone, a little bit of every kind of vegetable there is.
On the kitchen sink.
Yes. And me, I'm kind of a fat ass. I'll do that. I'm going to eat all of
that. Oh, I know you are. Yeah. I've seen that happen.
I know you have.
That's what we are. I mean, you walk into a kitchen and it's everybody and everything and everybody gets along, and if the rest of the world would be like a kitchen, we'd all get along.
So I've been saying that for years because all you do is you grab the person you're having a challenge with, bring them in the walk-in, shout it out. Hey, listen, if there's a fist or two, that's fine too, but get back outside and are your friends after that. That's okay.
That's right. Yeah. You go to a wax convention or world congress, and you go over there and you have all these countries, Russia, China, you name whatever country it is, and every country gets along with each other. There is no boundaries, no nothing, no politics or nothing. Everybody gets along with each other. Everybody helps each other out. Everybody talks. Everybody gets along. And if the rest of the world would follow what chefs do, we'd all be okay.
I don't necessarily disagree with that. I think that's a...
I solved the problems of all the world today.
You know what I'm saying? Like, wow, this, you heard it here on the Walk and Talk podcast, folks.
Well, what's the common denominator? It's all about food.
It's food.
Food brings everybody and family to the table.
100%.
It sure does. That's
food,
right.
Some food and potentially a cocktail or two. I'm just saying.
Or four.
That's right.
All right, take it easy.
Don't forget the cocktail.
And the bacon.
Chef.
And the bacon. Yes.
Oh man. So real quick, the side note. So I don't know.
Sorry.
10 or
I'm
15.
Sorry.
No, it's me. No, it's me. I did it. It's my. I do it. I'm the one that's able to do it.
10 or 15 podcasts ago, we had a good friend of mine, Chef Christoph, and we literally had bourbon. And we threw bacon, freshly crispy, beautiful bacon.
No, we did not throw it. I threw it first.
Well,
and you said, "What the hell are you doing?"
And I said, "Well, at the end of the day, we enjoyed the hell out of the bourbon with the bacon in it, and oh my god, it was great." All right, so
sounds good.
You got to try that, Chef. Definitely got to try that, Chef.
I will.
All right.
I might try it tonight.
Silence. All right, here we go. So with so many, so in today's world, everything is upside down. A lot of things are closing that we're always accustomed to having. And one of those things are culinary programs.
Yes.
So how can educators help to encourage student participation and involvement in the ACF in light of the current climate that's out there?
Well, that's up to the, That's a million-dollar question, but that's up to the educators, to be honest with you. We have educators that are very involved in ACF. We have educators that are not very involved in ACF. And the ones that are very involved, their students are very involved, and their students stay involved in ACF, and their students compete, and their students go far, and their students go very well. We have a lot of accredited schools. And a lot of accredited schools do very, very well. They follow our programs. They pay attention to what they're supposed to do. And their students go in part, get involved with the chapter, get involved with different activities through the chapter. And the more you get involved, the more you stay involved. And that's how you do it. If you're a school and you're not going to be involved with the chapter, you're not going to be involved with what's happening in the ACF, then the ACF is just there. There's people that have the ACF on their jacket. They don't really know what it means, except that they have that name on the jacket, and they're accrediting their program. You know what I'm saying? Basically, and that's all there is.
So then, I hear what you're saying.
I don't know what you can do. You can't be the police and. You know, say you have to do, you have to make them do this or make them do that. You just have to encourage the best you can.
So basically a little bit more effort into the marketing of such a thing, right?
Yeah, the marketing of such a thing that the students would want to get there, and the students could say to their chefs that aren't involved, how come we're not doing this?
Right.
And how come we can't do this like that school did or like that school did? And that's what usually is. Today, and this is after COVID, it's tough with schools. A lot of schools have closed. A lot of schools don't have the money they used to. Enrollment's down. People can't get help anymore because our industry is not as glamorous. People can work from home. Can work from home if you're a cook or a chef.
Right.
You have to be there and you have to actually cook. And, so people are finding maybe some, we're weeding out the lazy ones, I guess. And they're not interested. They're the ones that really don't have the passion. So we have to get people more interested, more motivated. We are starting to pay people more money. We're giving them more benefits. We're doing more for them. And the ACF has to stay on the forefront and make sure that the cooks and the chefs are doing that. And we talked earlier about mental health, your lifestyle, your life away from work. That's very, very important for them. You know, working 70 hours a week, 7 days a week, and, you know, not seeing your family, not having time to do whatever you do, whether it be watch TV or play football or baseball or watch a movie or whatever the case may be, or do nothing. You need that time. And, today, restaurants are finally realizing that they need to have their employees do that. That's the only way they're going to keep employees. They're not working them to death anymore like they used to.
And marriages.
The more and more ACF gets in marriages.
I mean, how bad is that? I mean, you know, you're talking about the restaurateur ownership, whatever. And they should look at their employees and take a gander at the divorce rate. You know what I mean? It's
they
staggering.
Should. They should. Yeah. Well,
and that's not a dig. And by the way, it's not a dig at, you know, the restaurant industry at large or, you know, the restaurant owner, but at the end of the day, it's the business and everybody is deeply involved in it. And these are the things that happen, but there has, you know, as you said a minute ago, chef, there has been a shift and people are noticing now that, hey, you've got to treat your folks a little bit better than they were previously.
That's right.
So chef, one of the things,
like back in my day.
Yeah,
in my day, they didn't get anything. You didn't have health insurance. You didn't have. We didn't have 401k. We didn't have anything. So little by little, you got it. You know what I'm saying? So now, at least, thank God, at least a lot of our young chefs are at least getting it and starting it earlier. They're able to get 401k. They're able to get some kind of a pension. They're able to get health insurance and able to support their families a lot better in that respect, which is a wonderful thing. And maybe they'll be able to retire earlier than me.
I know I'm going to be working until like the afternoon of my death. I'll be like, you know, whatever age that is, 80 years old. Well, I'm going to have to call out today because
I don't know. I don't know if I could ever retire. I don't know. My wife and I would probably be divorced if I retire.
Yeah, I mean, that's a true story, man. Like, you need to find something to do away from the house.
Absolutely.
For sure. If you're going to have the lazy boy chair, it's got to be out of the house. You can't be in the same place.
Absolutely.
All right. So, the national board. Paid sponsorships, benefits, all of that. How do you see those working together? Should the national board receive benefits without bringing in paid sponsorships, or what's your opinion there?
Elevate your dining experience with Rack Porcelain USA. As the exclusive tableware brand for the Walk and Talk podcast, Rack combines exceptional craftsmanship with innovative design. Whether you're a chef, a restaurant owner, or a food enthusiast, Rack's high-quality porcelain products will enhance every meal. Discover the artistry of food presentation and make every dining occasion special. Visit rackporcelain.com today and see how Rack can transform your table.
Well, should national board receive benefits of bringing in paid sponsorships?
No, let me clarify. Let me clarify.
Okay.
So the question is, should the national board receive benefits without getting paid sponsorship? Meaning, and I'm just going to throw this number out, for $5,000 to sit on the board for 2 years, so that's 10 grand total, you get to go and have the national convention paid for and all that. If you don't bring said monetary amount, then you should pay for the national convention and so on and so forth. So there's the clarification.
Aha. I never thought of it that way. But then you'd be limited to who you elect to that office or whatever. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people are good in office, but maybe they can't bring in sponsors. I mean, then you would just be getting people into the office who could bring sponsors in or various things like that. There's other people that contribute other things.
You don't have to
that. Nobody.
You don't have to bring the 10 grand and get sponsorship. If you don't, then you would have to pay for your own way to national.
But then you have to have it. Then you have to be rich and pay for all that stuff. I mean, to be a participant in the board, if you're volunteering, you shouldn't have to pay for something to volunteer. You shouldn't take advantage of it. You know what I mean? You shouldn't take advantage of whatever. My wife tells me that this is the most expensive hobby that I've ever had. I'd be better off finding a hobby that would be a lot cheaper, because no matter what, you know, ACF is paid for. When you go somewhere for ACF, it always ends up costing us a lot of money also. But, you know, you shouldn't, you know, if they want you to go someplace and do something, you know, you shouldn't have to pay for it out of your own pocket unless, you know, you're definitely wealthy enough to do that. But, you know, a board member should be able to bring in sponsors. I agree with that. And we do. I know I have brought a lot of sponsors in over the years, and I still continue to bring in sponsors. I mean, that's one thing. That's one thing I'm very proud of with the team. The past two teams, with Rini was actually with the first team.
Wait, are you talking about when you say team?
Extra money left over. USA, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, I was going to be specific.
USA, you got leftover money.
All right, yeah. He's talking about Team USA, the Olympic team. So mm-hmm. I've got two guys. I've got to translate, Chef. So I just wanted to make
sure. I'm sorry. Yeah, Team USA, that had leftover money for the start of this next team. And we had one other team, which was, I believe, 2014. They also had a little bit of extra money. But, you know, you need to get the sponsors or else you shouldn't be able to do what you need to do. It shouldn't come out of your membership. Membership really doesn't pay for anything. It's the sponsors that pay for majority of stuff that happens in ACF. It's not the membership dues. Membership dues cover pretty much the NCR and probably the
National Color
employees or stuff, right? National Color Review and
NCR.
A few other things, but it does not cover much of anything, to be honest with you. It's everything else that pays for everything else, most of the other stuff. And that's why it's important. But, you know, you shouldn't have to, if you're volunteering, you shouldn't have to, in my opinion, you shouldn't have to put it in your pocket, because that would limit it. You couldn't have someone that's, you only have people that could, definitely, you only have restaurant owners or people making, you know, gads of dollars to, you know, running the ACF. And that's not fair to the members. ACF should be run by members. And members are the most important thing in ACF. And sometimes we all forget that.
Well, that's a perfect segue into the next topic, which is students and full voting rights and that whole thing. That's actually a terrific segue. What are the advantages and disadvantages of giving students full voting rights in the ACF? I mean, what's the best way to go here?
Okay. My opinion is that students should not have full voting rights in the ACF. I think they should have the voting rights they have now in the ACF. And the reason being is because they're a student. And has nothing to do with what they pay. I don't care if they pay $1 or $5,000. I don't think it has anything to do with their voting rights. I think the voting rights is that they're students, number one, and they need to pay their dues to the industry. They need to know about the ACF. They need to know about the industry, and they need to know more about what's going on before they vote in the ACF.
Let me ask you a question.
There are many other.
So it's because I had this conversation with somebody else.
I'm sure.
So what happens if there's a student? You know, because a lot of people get started young in the business. You know, you can get a guy that or a gal or whoever that comes in at 15, 16 years old, starts working in the kitchen, and by the time they're 20, they've had like a full life working in the business. And let's just say they're 20 and they decide at that point they've been in the business 5, 6, 7 years and they become they're now a student. They decide to go to school and they come in under that that category or heading or whatever into the ACF. Should that person, because they actually have life experience in the industry, is there some kind of a discerning factor there with experience, or how does that work?
Well, if there's somebody that has enough experience, then I don't think they should come in as a student. I think they should come in as a member that has experience. Just like, let's say, let's take somebody, for example, that's a senior member. If you're a senior member, Giorgio Polenik, if you're listening to this, I don't mean you. I'm just using you as an example. Giorgio Polenik, is a senior member now, but he couldn't run for office if he was a senior member. So he kept his professional member status because he could run for office. You know, you understand what I'm saying? There's certain things that you do. And I think voting has its privileges, and a professional member should have a vote. And people, you know, And I know it says, you know, people say, well, students, people tell them how to vote, and they do tell them how to vote. I don't care what anybody says. And people tell everybody how to vote. But as someone that's been in the business a long time, someone that's been a member for a while, you know, you can tell me how to vote and I'll tell you, yeah, I'll still vote how I want. But a student is more, their mind is more whatever teacher tells me I'm going to do. And, you know, and I am. And, you know, and I think they will. I think they need to learn more. And I think they need to be more involved in the business before they actually become a voting member. A lot of other industries, a lot of other associations, their students do not have a vote. And most of the other industries, their students don't have a say in it. In fact, a lot of other industries, or a lot of other associations, members don't even vote. We're one of the few associations that the members actually vote, which is a great thing. I'm not saying that the members shouldn't vote. But I think we carry it. Sometimes we go, we beat this thing. We've been beating this thing every single year, and it probably needs to take a rest. But that's just my opinion.
So, Chef, my
and
question.
And we're all entitled to our opinion.
Right.
But everybody's, you know.
My question to that is, would it be better than to present like a tiered student? Because I remember on the chef's table, a retired lieutenant colonel from the Army who's got to be in his 40s is a student. And what's the average age of a culinary student right now?
I have no idea.
It's about 23 to 28, if you Google it on Google, obviously. Like you say, if you have a junior student, I don't think a junior student, which is 15 to, let's say, 18, should have a vote.
Right.
But I'm okay. But if you have someone like Carl, I know who he was having this debate with, but it was me. And I said, so wait a minute, what does a kid know? But it's like someone from like Emeril Lagasse's son, he was born into it, now is running Emeril's restaurant. And I use this as an extreme because he's at 20 or 19, 20 years old. He has life experiences. For him to walk up and say, hey, I want to run for president in the ACF and join, you know, 1 year. Obviously, he's not going to win because he doesn't know the ins and outs, but he might have some stuff that's really cool to say that might have bearing for those younger people to get on. So what about a tiered step for students? Like it's life experience and you could fill out a questionnaire. What about that? Are you opposed to something like that?
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
No, I'm not. We have something now, but we don't. We have something now, which is messed up. Sometimes we get into things. I know I'm not opposed to that, but sometimes we get into things and we make it more complicated than what it really is. Yes, I'm not opposed to that with a tiered thing, but we need to make it simple that people understand. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
A lot of the problem is, can I just tell you my Tom McCrean of reasoning? You can laugh or disagree or whatever.
From the mind of Macrina.
I have the world according to Tom Macrina, okay?
We're going to start a podcast. That's a new podcast.
The world according to Macrina. That's a new podcast. I love it. This is the issue, all right? And I know people hate to say back in the day, but you know what? I'm going to tell you back in the day, all right? This is the problem. We have students, and we keep saying students, students, students. And everybody says, if you keep doing the same thing, you're going to get the same results. Well, for 40 years, we keep saying students, 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 and we're still saying students, 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 students. So for 40 years, we've been doing the same thing, students, 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 students. But the difference is back then we had chefs. We had professional chefs that when these students got out of school, they went to work for a chef that was a member of the ACF. That ACF chef took those students to an ACF meeting. In turn, when that student went to the meeting with the chef and then became a chef or sous chef at their establishment, stayed a member of the ACF, brought their students to a chef, to a meeting. And that's how the ACF grew over the years. Somehow we're losing the chefs, and we need to concentrate on getting the actual chefs to come in. So when those students go work, they work for chefs that have no interest in ACF. So when the students get out of school, they leave us because there's nobody mentoring them to bring in to stay into the ACF.
Chef, you know, it's funny. I feel like there's a giant pool of potential ACF, members, people involved in it. And it's like the restaurant chefs.
You know what I'm saying?
And you know, listen, I've in my career, I've dealt with literally thousands of chefs over my time. And, you know, with my the relationship that I've had with the ACF over the years, most of the chefs are usually, you know, they're corporate style chefs, which is cool. There's no dig on that at all whatsoever. You don't see too many like independent restaurant chefs, you know, in the, you know, within the organization. And I feel like that's the untapped power. I feel like that should be something that's, you know, and
so, I try.
And how, what do we do? I mean, I'm a voice. I talk to chefs all week long now, today. Like, what do we do?
I do too.
I'm a member. I'm an ACF member. What do you want me to do to bring these people in? I'll do it for you.
I want you to tell them to come and take that 90-day membership. I visit chefs every day.
But what's the benefit?
Almost every day.
What's the gain?
For
a restaurant chef. Visit.
My biggest game and my thing, my biggest benefit. We could talk about certification. We could talk about whatever you want. The biggest game is networking and learning. You're networking and you're learning from the networking. You're learning from other fellow chefs. You're from the meetings and where you meet people. You know, our chapters sometimes are our biggest asset, but they're also our worst asset. It depends on how strong the chapter is or whatever. But if you go to a chapter and you meet and you learn, and same thing, you go to an ACF convention and you learn, you know, you'll draw people in, you'll see more, and people will get more involved and they'll learn, and more people will come. And I think sometimes that's what we're missing. If you look at chef to chef, you know, chef to chef,
I don't.
The club chefs, they have the chef to chef. They have it every year. They started out with a couple hundred chefs. Now they have chefs all over the place. They don't have all these big shot chefs with big names coming. They have our chefs do all the teaching there, all our master chefs and everything. They're the ones to do it. And they have chefs that want to learn basics. They don't want to learn basics. They want to learn new ideas to help them in what they're doing. And that's what we need. We need to show chefs new ideas in what they're doing in their industry to make their job easier, to make their customers happier, to make their, you know, get the food costs easier so they can make more bonus or whatever the case may be in their life.
Or keep their job.
Keep their jobs, right? Keep their jobs. That's, you know, that's another thing. But today, today I find that chefs are not changing as much as they used to.
Changing what?
As I go out and see.
What do you mean?
Jobs. They're not changing jobs as much as they used to. They're staying longer at restaurants. At least around here they are.
Yeah, I mean, I've got some good anecdotal evidence of that, but that's usually like your country club chef. Usually they stick around a long time. ALF, assisted living facility chefs, they stick around a long time. When you're talking about like...
I've been seeing restaurant chefs stick around too.
Yeah, that's...
Restaurants.
Pennsylvania because down here it's not...
Open. Oh, really? Well, no, we're opening the shore again because, you know, I'm in New Jersey,
Has the shore
Delaware,
been closed this
Maryland
long?
Shore.
No, it's winter.
Well, so.
Oh, for the winter. Yeah, winter,
he's
summer,
not, he's summer,
not
summer.
About,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
yeah. He's not talking about pandemic.
It's summer.
The season.
This, okay. This is, yeah, I'm talking about summer.
Yeah.
And the chefs from last year are like pretty much the same chefs at the same places. And usually they lose a lot of their chefs over the winter. And this year it's a lot of the same chefs coming back. So that's pretty good. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean,
that's
listen,
a good sign for them.
We're in a new we are definitely
we're in a new world.
A new world, man. And it
yeah,
I don't know
that
it's all good.
I mean,
either.
The owners I think it's good. It shows that the chefs are like their jobs better. It shows the hopefully that the owners are paying them more money, that they're giving them more benefits, that there's a reason for them to stay wherever they're staying, you know. I think that's a good thing personally. So,
yeah, that part I can't disagree
you
with
know
any
what I mean?
That. That's no, yeah, absolutely. All right, let's switch
gears. Now, if we get them all to be members, that's even a better thing.
Well, that's part of the benefit. You know what the offerings are for. Listen, restaurant chefs are like, okay. Here's a good analogy. You can look at the ACF chefs as like boxing, right? And then you can look at the like restaurant chefs as MMA. It's a whole different, you're all are both fighting. It's fighting. You know what I mean? And it takes a lot to do what everybody does, but they're different. They're completely different styles of fighting and you can't put them together. It doesn't mesh unless you put together the parameters and you build that environment that brings them together. And that's, I think, what the discussion and who am I, right? But that's, I think, what the discussion should be is how do you bring them in?
You're making a very good point. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Have you ever polled like restaurant chefs? Cause I know that's part of your job when you go out and you're doing your cuttings and meeting the different, you know, chefs from the different restaurants and stuff. Have you ever asked them, hey, why don't you join ACF? And what would they say? And you did, have you?
Like, every day.
What do they normally say?
They all say something different. When I go out, I either wear my company logo stuff or I'll wear my ACF stuff. I do not wear Johnson & Wales or CIA because if I do, they either hate you.
That's like wearing blue or red. It's like the Crips and the Bloods. Yeah, I got you, bro.
Right. So you don't do that. But ACF, they'll tell you if they don't like ACF. And sometimes that people say yes. Some people say, oh, I went to school. I know who they are. I went to school. Or someone say, I hate the ACF. And it's either because of somebody pissed them off for some reason.
Sometimes
20 years ago, 5 years ago. And I talked to them. And some people I call down and I talk to Kathy Adams down there and, you know, I give them the number. We get them a 90-day membership. Some people stay. The trial membership is the best thing we ever did. Some people stay with it. Some people don't. But somebody made them mad for some stupid reason 90% of the time. And a lot of times people say they don't have time. And that's one of the biggest things either. And
well,
I try to explain to them.
Some people may simply not want organization. Sometimes it's too much structure. You know what I mean?
Probably. No one's ever said that though, to me. No one's ever said that.
They wouldn't.
Yeah. They make other excuses. Like somebody, one time, one person was pissed off because they got a bronze medal, and I'm talking back in 1985 from somebody who's gave them bronze medal is not even alive right now. And they still hate the ACF from that. So, you know, what are you going to do with that person? Nothing. I'm sorry you got a bronze medal. I said, you know how many certificates I got before I got a real medal?
You're worried about a bronze medal?
Send them to dinner.
They should be happy they got a bronze.
You know what you should do? I'll tell you what you do with that person. Have an event in their name because they did what they did and butter them over, you know, feed that guy or gal or whatever.
I can't believe that.
But there's all different reasons, but that's why people, you know, there's always something. And I talk to every single one of them. And if it's something that I can handle, a lot of times I do, I call somebody at the ACF and I talk to them with the problem that I could help them with. A lot of times I give them a 90-day membership. If it was a student that graduated from one of our schools, I try to get them to come back, especially if they're a chef now and they're not under a chef. And they say, yeah, oh, yeah, I remember that. I know this one or that one. A lot of people, I come, they, oh, I remember seeing your picture in the Kona Review back in whenever. And, you know, and so it's all good, but you're not going to get everybody, but you know, we should get more than what we have. And people today, from what everyone tells me, the generation today is not a joining generation, but they enjoy different things.
Well, they speak differently too.
Find out what they really, let's see what they would enjoy and let's find it. You know what I'm saying? Let's find their niche. That's what we need to do. Like, you know, like Jeff said,
go ahead, finish it. Yep.
Like Jeff said, we need to figure out, you know, the analysis and find out, you know, have somebody look at that. And so we got to find out what their niche is. And I think that's what we really need to figure out what it is and do it.
Listen.
Yeah,
so
right.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
I agree with everything that's been said here so far with all that.
Yeah.
What's the action plan? See, that's right. You know, what's the old saying?
I don't have any answers. I have the questions.
Yeah. Well, true story. I mean, but that's so, and that's why we're doing this with the show is because, you know, we have a pretty strong audience in the culinary world and foodies and, you know, the whole nine yards. But at the end of the day, you know, we're posing these topics and these questions in order to initiate or establish some dialogue about it to get things moving.
How about this? Whoever's right. listening to this right now and they are a restaurant chef and they're debating why they should to comment on this and let us know what it is that you're looking would look
absolutely.
For to the
call
ACF.
Us. Absolutely.
I think
absolutely.
That's the perfect. I mean, and that's the thing. And you know,
and
when
here's
I was
Jeff's number.
and
really call that dialogue. And that's it. That's the thing. And when you have dialogue, don't get pissed off because somebody disagrees with you. Just talk
that's
about
that's what dialogue
it. You know
is.
What I'm saying? I know that, but obviously today people don't understand that.
Oh, 100%.
I'm not looking for people to get all up in their feelings, to be butthurt. Yeah, no, I mean, at the end of the day, this is to have the communication and to have the conversation, right. You know, whether it hurts a feeling or not, it doesn't matter.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, once it's
right.
out, it's out. You have to deal with it. Yeah. At that point,
I think what we need to do is focus on the right questions to ask chefs that are restaurant chefs. And we're not right asking
exactly.
the right questions. I mean, you're sitting across
right.
from a restaurant
but who
chef.
Who knows what they are?
Right.
You know what? Who knows what they are? Because you know what? I'm not a restaurant chef today.
Right.
I used to be. I could tell you what the right questions were 20 years ago. But I'm not that chef today that
well,
deals with what happened every day
I
in
am
a restaurant,
that restaurant chef. I am that restaurant chef. And I'll tell
okay,
you,
what
the ACF can offer me is networking and the education. Because
see,
when you go into certain things
people
with fermentation.
Forget about networking, yeah. Jeff.
No, that's huge.
People forget about networking, but they forget about I agree with you. That is so, so important because that dialogue, that networking, knowing these people and that connection, when you're in trouble, when you need to ask a question, when you're out of a job, when you need somebody, all that, you know, adds up. It does.
I listen, the chefs that I've met over the year, I still keep in contact with. And I know when I was talking, doing something, I remember I picked up the phone and hit up Chef Gerald Ford because I wanted to ask opinion. Mm-hmm. And he was there, CMC. What a great person to have in your corner when you're trying
absolutely.
To do something. And that to me is priceless. So if you guys are listening
absolutely.
Out there, that's what the ACF can really offer you as far as a restaurant chef.
And it most certainly can. Anytime, pick up a phone, call somebody. No matter what, and they're there, and they don't charge either. That's the best part about it.
Yeah, well, phone calls are free.
Phone calls are free. Yeah.
Chef Thomas, so how did the okay?
Yes.
Let's jump into this. Okay, so we how did the ACF do a CMPC beta test that has no direct result, and someone gain a certification in just 3 days of an 8-day exam? Where was the leadership?
See, now you're asking me hard questions.
Okay? I know. We were having a good time until now. I get it.
We were having a very good time.
I get it.
I don't know. I don't know how they did that. It should have never been done, and the board knew nothing about it. We knew that there were changes going to be made, and I found out on Facebook just like everybody else did. And it's caused a lot of problems, and it's still causing a lot of problems. This should have never been done. And we're still investigating it. I don't know. I can't give you an answer because I really don't know the answers.
Okay, fair
enough.
They
just did it. They just did it. And they shouldn't have done it. That's all I can say about it.
Those bastards. Okay, all right. So All right, ACF. All right, what does it mean for the ACF now that the American Master Chef's Order, AMCO, has displaced itself from the ACF certifications?
It's not a very good thing at all. I think it's a bad thing. But I think we're going to rectify it. We are meeting with them. We had one meeting with them last week, and we have a task force, which I'm part of. And we're meeting with them, putting things together. Over the years, the Master Chefs have been a part of the Master Chef test, and rightfully so, because they're the subject matters of Master Chefs. You can't have a doctor, you can't have a somebody with a bachelor's degree judge somebody who's taken a doctor's degree, or you know, a dentist judge a surgeon, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, rightfully so, you know, there's a lot of who said, we said, you said, I said, she said. Okay. So you go through all that. Basically they feel they weren't consulted, and, they stepped away, and they're still not back. The board did appoint a master chef onto the board got together. We had an emergency board meeting, and we appointed a master chef onto the commission, because there was none on the commission. And would that solve any problems? Probably not. But it's put a Band-Aid for a little bit of time. But we're meeting with them, and we're meeting with them until this problem is solved. And the problem will be solved, and they'll be back with us, and hopefully we will not have issues like this again. And certification is very important, and to hold the integrity of our certification is very important. They felt that doing this is watering down certification. A lot of our members did too. You could read that on Chef's Table and many other places. And, you know, I don't feel that way. I'm sure a lot of other people don't want that to happen to our certification, because it's near and dear to all of us that are certified.
So, and, Chef, the one thing,
solve the problem.
The one thing when I look at this and I ask the question, I'm really trying to find out the answers to this when I ask this question too. Okay. And maybe you can enlighten us. When's the last time the CMC exam was actually modified?
The CMC exam?
Yes.
Was modified, whenever Jeremy was there, when I was president, it was modified. Once Stafford was president, it was modified.
So twice,
they took it down from 8 days, they took it down from whatever it was to 8 days. The CMC exam has been modified. It was whatever that the horrible test that everybody says it was. Okay. It was modified to, it's an 8-day test that's broken down into two parts. If you take the test now, and let's say you pass day one before, if you flunk day one, you had to take it over again or whatever. Or if you pass day one and you flunked day two, you had to take the whole thing over again when you came back. Now, if whatever you flunked, you don't have to, whatever you passed, you don't have to take over again.
That makes sense.
So there's a lot of modifications. It's not like they didn't do anything.
Right.
There's a lot of modifications.
But here's
it's not, you know, you're still taking a Master Chef's test. You're not taking, it's like taking a dog. You're not, you know, you understand?
You're making it more efficient.
Yeah, you're making it more proficient. I got that. My other question, though, is when's the last time this CNPC exam has been done or modified?
I don't know.
Right.
It's been a long time.
Right. And that's my point is, yes, was national or whatever happened to cause this to go from whatever the exam for the CMPMC exam was.
Right. It should never been secret. They should have told somebody. And I said, I said, I don't care what you did, what you shouldn't have done. You should have told somebody what you were doing. That's all. Whenever you do something and you don't tell anybody what you're doing, everybody suspects that you're doing something wrong, even if you didn't. And I don't know if you did or you didn't, because we still didn't have the information of what it was, how it was, or anything, which we're trying to get. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you know what I'm saying? So if you make it look like it's you know, if it looks like a skunk and smells like a skunk, then it must be a skunk or whatever that sayings are. I'm no good at sayings.
Yeah, but it quacks like a duck, walks like a duck, it is a duck.
There you go. There you go. So, you know, so be upfront and say what you need to say and you know, be whatever and go up and say what it is and say, this is what we're doing. And tell everybody what you're doing. Should never kept it from the board. You know, yes, you did keep it from the board. No, we did not know there was a test, whatever day that test was. None of us. We were all in shock and we all looked like fools. And I was probably the biggest one with the biggest mouth. And I don't care. I tell them, I don't care. I say what I need to say. I always have and I always will. And I'm sorry. I really shouldn't apologize for it. I don't need to. But, you know, we need to know. We are the board. And sometimes, you know, they forget that there's not only one person or two people on the board. There's nine of us on the board. And they forget that, you know, a lot of us exist.
Well, we also remember, like you said, it's a he said, she said, point the finger said,
that's right.
All that. So there's that's right. Somewhere in the middle. It's very convoluted. Right. And that's one of the reasons why I want to ask my questions again. I've said this before in other podcasts. I'm doing this very selfishly, but for a good reason, because, you know, these are questions that most members maybe not have the opportunity, because when you're doing the town hall, they get 3 minutes and it's very, you know, I don't want to say strict, but it's regimented.
Oh, that whole thing is another, that's a whole nother story.
And that's why I love what we're doing, because we get to find the real story out.
They get to talk. That's right. Yeah. You need, the members are the most important thing to ACF. They always have been, and they always will be. Without the members, there is no ACF. And once you forget about that, then you're in trouble. They should have a voice. They need to be heard and you need to listen to the members. You can't assume what the members think or what they have to say. Like my big thing, you know, you talked about, let's just say, well, I don't know how much time we have, but let's just say one more, let's go back to this, this student thing. Okay. And whatever opinions, everybody has their opinion and they're allowed to, but the thing is last year at the Board of Governors, okay, 70% of the Board of Governors voted no to the student having a full vote. Why is it so important that you bring it up again next year? Why don't you wait a year or two? Why don't you see? Why don't you get more reasons? There's nothing new happened. You may have changed five or six presidents or some or whatever the case may be. But what are you, you know, why are you, you know what I mean? Why are you trying to shove it down? Are you listening to the presidents? Are you listening to the members, what they're thinking? Or are you trying to shove something down their throat? You know what I'm saying?
Right. But would it also have been, I know, like reading the minutes, and I can't remember when the minutes were, from October or November. I know there were, it seemed like some of the people thought we were talking, those people that actually presented, when I should say, the person that brought forth this bylaw, it seemed it got convoluted. They were talking about 15 to 16, 17 year olds. When we were, or in fact, when I say we, I shouldn't say we, because I wasn't a part of it. I was sitting there with you. But I think what it was is they were trying to talk about culinary students, because that's a quarter of a vote. And the culinarian gets the, and I'm not going to go through all of them because you know them, you know, gets the half a vote. So I think that's where it got convoluted. And maybe that's why it was brought up. I don't know.
Then it still is. Then right. It still is convoluted, because that's not what we're talking about. They're talking about students again. So if you're talking about culinarians, that's something totally different. There's too many categories that get too many different things.
Right.
You know, so maybe there should be a tier, but it needs to be identified. I don't even know off the top of my head, you know, who gets what, when, where, and how. I couldn't tell you off the top of my head without looking it up who pays what, when, where, and how. You know what I'm saying?
So, Chef Thomas, why don't we put that together? Let's find out and put it on paper and put an action plan together. If that's actually an important situation or topic or whatever,
why don't we talk to the person that actually initially put that bylaw in and find out why they put it in?
Explain it to the members before
the board of governors.
That's what it's already too late. That's my point. That was my point, Lance. You're already talking about this. It's already too late. You should have been doing this back in October, November,
right,
22. Right. You know, yeah. And you should have brought it to the members. Let the members know what you're doing. Why do we wait so long? Why do we, our communication, we say, oh, we sent it. You know, whenever I talk about whenever I complain about communication, I do that a lot. Sorry about that. But I complain about communication. Well, we put it here. We put it there. We did this. We did that. Well, obviously, you didn't put it in the right spot because I missed it. This one missed it. That one missed it. So something's wrong someplace. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Like at work, I complain because I get it on Teams. I get it in my email. I get it in text. I get it everywhere, but I get the message. So obviously somewhere along the line where the communication is missing somewhere, we need to communicate and in enough time where people can comprehend and understand exactly what it is, not and last minute.
Well, look, I think what should happen, my opinion, and I'm a member, and at the end of the day, I have a professional career that's fairly successful, and you know, I guess what I'm getting at is let's be men and women of action. So,
right.
You know, like we're going to hang up in a minute, and you know, I'm going to go off and do what I'm going to do. Jeff and you, everybody's going to go do what they're doing. John, everybody over here. But let's actually get back together and put things into action, Chef, and make it happen.
You have no idea when we hang up, literally the debates we have afterwards, it can go on for an hour and a half to 2 hours. Seriously.
Yeah, no, it's
and it's fine. I mean, debate should go on. I mean, that's the only way you're going to accomplish that's something.
Exactly. But only going to get better by actually communicating and letting things out.
Exactly. And let it go on. Let it go on and on. But there's got to be an end sometime. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there has to be a plan.
Well, the end is the plan.
And the plan right. needs to be enacted.
Instituted. Yep.
Yeah. And, I mean, that listen, right. no matter but, what it is but in the, society, but that's what it has
secret,
to be. Though.
No, we're not talking about secrecy.
It can't
we're talking
be a secret
about,
plan.
No.
It's got to be a plan that everybody knows about, everybody understands, true, and everybody, yeah. you know, everybody's weighs in on. Everybody has a. Has money in that plan. Everybody has a part of that plan.
A buy-in.
That's right. Buy-in. Thank you. You know, sometimes I have these senior moments, you know. But yeah, everybody has a buy-in in the plan.
When I was a boy.
I get it. I understand. I totally get it. All right, Chef, listen. So, yeah. I mean, literally, I think with this, we could probably go on for another 3 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I could come back another time, maybe after the election.
Yeah, for sure. No, this is
talk about whatever we want to talk about. How's that sound?
I enjoy, actually, truthfully speaking, I enjoyed this session a lot. And I think there's much to be learned from it. And, but yeah, so listen, Chef, why don't we do this? We're gonna roll out. Why don't you take a minute and just, you know, plug the ACF.
Plug the ACF.
Yes.
ACF is a great organization. Been there for 50 years, and it does need change. And I'm going to say this. Please, we need Marquis for president. He's your number one. And keep the vice presidents in there that are in there, and Ray McHugh and Kyle. And
excellent.
Good luck to everyone.
Good luck to everybody. Chef Tom, I appreciate you very much for being on the program. Chef Jeffrey. Mr. Producer John, thank you very much. We are out.
Thank you.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.
Get ready to innovate and organize your workspace with Metro. As the industry leader in storage and productivity solutions, Metro is here to transform and organize your kitchen. With their premium solutions, you'll experience the Metro difference. Metro's sturdy and versatile shelving units, workstations, holding cabinets, and utility carts are designed to streamline operations and maximize your productivity. Don't settle for imitators. Metro products last longer and offer unparalleled quality and durability. Plus, many customization options ensure that your workspace is tailored to your unique needs. Visit their website or contact them today to start designing your perfect space. Metro Shelving, your partner in organization and efficiency.
Let me tell you about my friends over at Citrus America and their amazing juicing equipment. They're revolutionizing the way you enjoy freshly squeezed juice. They're at the best hotels, restaurants, and markets. Their mission is simple. Develop a unique consumer experience with on-premise juicing, deliver healthy taste options to clientele, and juice more faster. It's that easy. Citrus America supplies the highest quality juicing equipment and solutions in the industry. So whether you're a small business owner or a large corporation, Citrus America has the right juicing equipment for you. Find out more at citrusamerica.com.